Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to another show of Keeping It Brief, where we celebrate the art of saying so much with so little. And we have tons and tons of treasures to dig into tonight of wonderful brevity, so I'm not going to make this intro long. And I just want to say, if somebody could please put up the number for the show on the LNP topic board, please. There's somebody that needs it. So just a message out for you. So I understand we have Ed, you're with me? My wonderful co-host, Ed. Yes, thank you so much for being there. And how have you been playing Santa Claus? I've heard.
Oh yeah, playing Santa Claus on a trolley, and my legs are killing me. I'm having a blast though.
Yeah, oh, that must be wonderful. I would have loved to play. I don't know. Well, right now, maybe probably Mama Santa, but when I was younger, I would have loved to play the fairy. Would have been my dream.
I have to put a couple pillows under my suit because they don't like to see a skinny Santa.
Yeah, yeah. That must be awesome. Oh boy, that must be a dream to do that. And I understand we have Miriam on with us. Hi, Miriam.
Hello, Pam. Good to be here.
Oh,
hi, Miriam.
Good to have you. Wonderful, wonderful to have you with us. And yeah, so we have, I already went ahead because Diane can't be joining us tonight. Oh, Wayne is with us. Hi, Wayne.
How you doing, Naomi? How you doing tonight?
Hello, Wayne. Wonderful. What a treat to have you on with us. Well, my gracious. And how have you been, Wayne?
I've been doing fine. Been writing a little poetry and enjoying life in general. It's been a great day.
That's great. That's great. And so great to have you. Wow, my gracious. Are you able to stay for long, Wayne, or do you have a how long can you stay? Like, can you just to know so that I know when to put up your light?
I'll be here for an hour anyway, at least an hour, maybe longer.
Okay, no problem. Oh, that's even a better treat. So I have to first the first write up by My Angel 3. You see it there, Miriam. As soon as you see it there, you can give it a read for us, my dear.
I'm sorry. Wait, are you talking about the My Angel 3 thing?
Yeah, My Angel 3, the fresh start effect.
Pick someone else for that, please.
Oh, okay. Well, Ed, can you read it? Oh, I'll read it. Since it's a girl, okay. I think it's in a girl's voice. And she wrote to, we only said goodbye with words. I died 100 times. You go back to her, and I go back to, and that's from the song from Amy Winehouse, one of my favorite artists of and songs. So, and it goes like this. I float in endless optimism. A fresh start and new beginnings. Smoke and mirrors and us. Lost in faulted pathways, the sum of in between. I deserve to dream. We deserve to dream of the future, of each other or of another lover. Making love to you until you fall asleep. Amputated lovemaking, absent of connection. Fingertips delusions, masking rejection with lusty affections. She's graceful in lace, catty when banking on the unexpected. A stunt double lover who wakes to empty chiffon sheets and traumatic pancakes. Wonderful read, wonderful write of My Angel 3. I just love that traumatic pancakes. And what did you think, Ed?
I think My Angel 3 hit this right on, especially for the artist, the singer. The words go through inside you deep, and when you listen to her songs, that's how she sings. And, mm-hmm. you know, each stanza is unique in her own way. A love that never fully panned out. And I think I told her my third stanza was the favorite. But all in all, she hit this right on the mark with the singer and the artist.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful, you know, comment because, you know, I thought absolutely the same thing, Ed. You know, I wrote to her that she truly captured both the essence of the singer and the feelings of the lyrics in this poem because, you know, this is a song I've listened to over and over and over again, oh my gracious. And, you know, she just captures that kind of mood you know, that vibe in this poem so perfectly. So I totally agree with you. And what did you think, Wayne, of My Angel Three write?
I think so. I think she did great with this lovely poem. It has a great outlook on life and what life will give. And the phrases are wonderful in this poem. I like the phrase, I was taken aback by the phrase, amputated lovemaking. It was kind of caught me off guard there a little bit. But this poem is wonderful, and the phrasing is good, and she did a good job with this poem. I like it a whole lot.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And I'm just going to put up the next right here. Okay, by Forgotten Dream. And can you read that one, Miriam? Maybe it's more sorry about the other one.
Vanishing Cartography. I once was able to trace the map of your body with shuttered lids. Follow the bend of thumb up to lopsided smile. Taste answers from silken lips and read the stars in mocha eyes. But years now sit between us like unread novels on crammed bookshelves. Your voice an echo of a song I used to have memorized. The lines of an adored face unraveling into a stranger, lost in a sea of people. End poem.
What a sad poem. And she wrote to the lyrics of the song Gaudi, the man, I think you pronounce it like that, Gaudi, and Now You're Just Somebody That I Used to Know, another beautiful song that I really like. And I think she really captured that line of it from the song so perfectly, you know, in this write. I just love, you know, everything about this write. You know, the first stanza, the lopsided smile, the tasting the answers from silken lips, reading the stars in mocha eyes. And then, you know, she goes on into the second stanza, which is really sad and which is really relatable to a lot of people, you know, because, you know, this happens. Relationships, they kind of, you know, sometimes they fade, you know. They fade away. What did you think, Ed?
Well, I agree with you. They fade away. But with every write here, if you read in between the lines and everything, it's still within them, that pain and that memory for how they could write like this so well. It brings out how this person feels. And even though the memory is said vanishing, but it still be in your heart, and you could feel it from this right, and it was well done.
Absolutely. And Wayne, what are your thoughts, my dear?
Well, life can have a negative effect on us as we age. Taste change and interest wane, and this poem explains that wonderfully. This poem gives you reason to ponder about how you approach the future and your future needs. Kind of just everything changes as you get older, and your likes and dislikes change a lot. And this poem is a good example of how it works. She did a great job with it. Kind of sad, but it's a good poem.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there, Wayne. And Miriam, you read the poem. What are your thoughts?
I found this very easy to read just because it flowed so well. It was like I knew what was coming up next. The sounds of it are just really, really beautiful, which to me is a really big part of what poetry is about. And very, very sad. Very, very
absolutely
sad.
Yeah, Forgotten Dream, you know, I keep saying it every time, but, you know, she's one of my, you know, well, I have a lot, like, I mean, but, you know, I really admire her writing. She's so talented. So thank you so, so much, Forgotten Dream. That was an amazing write. And I have our next write-up, which is by Mithri Arjun, and it's called A Healing Pen. And Wayne, do you want to go ahead and give that a read for us, please?
Yes, I tried. I got to find it first. I'm just getting back off the other four images here.
Maybe refresh your page.
Yeah.
I put it in both. You have it?
It was right here in front of me. See here.
Healing.
There it is. I don't see the point, though.
A Healing Pen by Mercy Argent.
I just refreshed to see what it looks up right now. Let's see.
Well, I'll get you to read the next one, Wayne, and I'll get Ed to read this one. Is that okay?
I just found it if you want me to read it.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Well, it's lost again. Oh, yeah, Healing Pen. It's called a Healing Pen.
Yeah.
Okay. It's called a Healing Pen by Mercy Argent. It goes like this. Her pencil did the talking, a happy sun, the shining star, the passing clouds, birds with open wings, all the place in her little diary. Evil days burdened her mind. Pages she left blank for many reasons. Her pen ain't froze, no lines she wrote. Always she kept her book from all. Leaving the past behind, a place and time to smile, she gave it for all. Her colorful pages catch horizons, orange and gray side by side. Now again she wishes to run and sing under the open sky as fast as the wind. Giggling leaves and petals she holds, words shine and dance with her pen now. Ian?
Wonderful, Wayne. Thank you so much. And she wrote the quote by Tupac, which was, "Long live the rose that grew from concrete when no one else even cared." And, you know, that is a touching, touching quote. And, you know, wonderful, wonderful, right? You know, such a beautiful, spiritual, uplifting, right? What did you think, Ed?
It was a beautiful write. Memories into letters, and we put them all together, and they come out with a beautiful meaning. And this was great memories into words. And the way we can always read back, just like if you write a diary, this is beautiful. And you could feel it inside of how this person put out her words. Very emotional.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there, Ed. And Miriam, what did you think of the write?
I'm not at all sure that I am interpreting it correctly, but I realized that however we interpret a poem, it has value in itself. And one thing that I found in this is if you've got more than one talent and you find that you've got writer's block or whatever, you could try using one of your other talents. Like, if I can't write, maybe I should try drawing. And the thing is, and if you can't write, wait until you're in a better mood. Don't sweat it. Only
Absolutely.
She says more poetically than that.
Absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful observation. Yeah, exactly it. And Wayne, you read that so wonderfully. What did you think of the write, my dear?
This is a poem of her writing's been private, she didn't let anybody see her words or read her words until she left the past behind. And after she left the past behind, she now dances with her words as she goes through life happily. She whispers and runs and sings, it says, in the open sky. She did a great job of this, and she changed from not wanting anybody to see, read her works to even the evil behind, and now she's open and free, and anybody read her poems. Great job with this poem.
Wonderful, right? Oh, my gracious. You know, we have so much talent on this website. It's really crazy. Another amazing right. So thank you so much, Miss Ree Argent, for sharing that with us tonight. And I have our next write-up by Poetic Creations. And Ed, if you want to go ahead and give it a read, my dear.
Yes. Yesterday is a stranger to tomorrow. You were always a dream, a fantasy, nothing but lovely, and an impossibility for me. Distance became the lock, and passion became the key. All I wanted was all of you, but I was already jaded blue. I was lost and busted too, searching for a bit of peace, falling for every breakthrough. I step out of the grave with so much that I have to say, yet today isn't yesterday, and tomorrow is a condition and insanity that comes in waves. High heels and stockings, coconut-scented vanilla wings, the sunshine in spring, its cold shivers in the rain, its fertility unfolding and rising in poem.
Oh, my gracious. What an amazing write from Poetic Creations here. I mean, metaphors. It's just loaded with these wonderful metaphors. And, yeah, of course, the imagery is just so amazing. What do you think, Miriam?
That's a very interesting story that's told here. A lot of details and some good images in here, like coconut-scented vanilla wings. That's something I would never have thought of. Hang with me just a minute here. Nothing but the lovely and impossibility for me. Distance became the lock and passion became the key. That really makes you want to know what's going to happen next. Very good. Okay.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And what did you think, Wayne? Poetic Creations, right?
I think it's wonderful. Her past was just in the fantasy world, where it wasn't really real to her, and she finally came back to reality when she stepped out of the grave, and now she sees reality and lives all things that is real, like the cold shivers in the rain, and she likes her life a lot better. It's no longer the fantasy world. She's back to reality, enjoying it. It's like me. Great job.
Great comment, Wayne. And Ed, what are your thoughts?
I thought this was beautiful. You know, the first and last stanza are my favorite. The distance was a lock in it, and I think she's trying to bring it out in memory. And, I think the last stanza may have been a memory of maybe on the beach somewhere, the coconut-scented vanilla wings, the sunshine in spring. Brings out beauty, and then all of a sudden it's cold shivers in the rain. It's, you know, frailty unfolding and rising. It has so many different meanings in this, right? It would be nice to talk to them about it to because you want to learn more. It was done very well.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment and wonderful share by Poetic Creations. Thank you so, so much. And I have our next write-up, Beneath Her Sleeve, and I'm going to give that a read. Beneath her sleeve, oh, so serene, a world of wonder, unseen and clean, soft as silk, smooth as cream, a secret place where dreams are made. In this hidden realm, she wears no disguise. Her true self shines like the morning skies. With every gesture, grace abounds and beauty flows from her hands. Her wrists, they dance with elegance as if the stars were performing in advance. Each movement, a symphony of grace, a testament to her inner light. Oh, beneath her sleeves, such magic lies, a treasure trove of surprise. For those who seek it, they shall find a world of enchantment intertwined. And you know what a beautiful composition this was. I thought it was so elegantly written. Her wrists, they dance with elegance as if stars were performing in advance, each movement a symphony of grace, a testament to our inner light. It's such a beautiful, beautiful piece. What did you think, Ed?
Well, a secret place where dreams are made. I thought, everyone has that feeling. I like in this hidden realm, she wears no disguise. Her true self shines like the morning skies. With every gesture, grace abounds and beauty flows from her hands. I thought that was a very elegant, very beautiful. And everything in each stanza has so much meaning and a beautiful read also, Naomi.
Thank you. Wonderful comment there, Ed. And Wayne, what did you think of the write?
I think it's a wonderful write, very, very poetic. Beneath her sleeves is a wonderful way to explain her hidden life and the wonders that she possesses. It has great phrases in it, and it, she explains her beauty and all the love, and it's there for everybody to see if they'll just look beneath her sleeves or come to Saturn and see it. Very great, great poem.
Absolutely. Great interpretation there of the poem, Wayne. You know, I saw that too, you know, the metaphor of the sleeves as, you know, her inner self. So wonderfully said there. And Miriam, what are your thoughts?
Well, what was coming to mind for me in this poem was a magician, how they... they often say there's nothing up my sleeves, but there actually has to be something up their sleeves the way they do those amazing tricks. And it also, the last line says, a world of enchantment intertwined. So that kind of gives a validity to my interpretation. But I think there's something more to it, even if that is what Black Iris means. I think there's something more to it than a magician's tricks, that there's something wonderful and beautiful. And she says she wears no disguise. So the light that's shining from under her sleeves, her wrists, her arms, everything, it's all a matter of sheer beauty.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Wonderfully said there, Miriam. And I have the next write-up, Miriam, by Oshini Creations, if you want to give that a read.
Looking for here. Got it. The story of my life. I want to turn the story of my life into jigsaw puzzle pieces on which people from all walks of life will continually feast. Each piece would tell tales, showing them how God was in my story, leading them to always be a generation that sets their hope in God. They'll see how God equipped me to defy all odds. To defy all odds life threw at me. They'll see how God equipped me to turn pain into a masterpiece. They'll see how God equipped me to become his success story. They'll see these evidences and learn how God was in my story. End poem.
Yeah, and this was written by Oshini to one of my favorite songs, which is God is in this story by Katie Nicole and Big Daddy Weave. She focused on the line from the song, which is God is in this story. And, yeah, you know, this is just a wonderful testimony to her faith. I just love that first stanza. I want to turn the story of my life into jigsaw puzzle pieces on which people with from all walks of life will continuously feast. You know, I just love that. And, you know, it's such a brilliant spiritual piece from Oshini, like she can do them, you know, so, so beautifully. She just talks from her heart. So, so raw, so real, so authentic. Bravo. And what did you think, Ed?
Well, everyone has a story of their life, but this is a passage through difficult times and how to overcome with belief and spirit. And I thought this was a lovely write. And I think many people should read something like this. There also was a story of my life by Helen Keller, if anyone would want to read that. That's a pretty good story.
Absolutely. I read it. I read it and it's amazing, you know, boy, you know, how she was frustrated at, in the beginning, you know. I second that, Ed. Everybody should read that story. It's so, such an amazing, you know, amazing, really her autobiography in a way, you know. Just a wonderful write, that story. And Miriam, what did you think of Oshini's write that you just read?
I admire people who can take the pain that they experience and the confusion and turn it into something wonderful. And for me, God is a huge, to me, an essential part of that. And other people find other ways of coming to that, of finding beauty and something very positive that comes out of pain.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of good things to be said here. It's a very, very, very simply stated, which I appreciate.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You like it? It's really like just pouring out, isn't it? And wonderfully said there, Miriam. And Wayne, what are your thoughts?
I think this is a great confession of her love of God, and then she wants the world to see how her and her generation has faith. That has now changed her life. It's a great testimony to her faith, and it's a beautiful poem, and she did a wonderful job writing this. I like it a whole lot.
Thank you, Wayne. Wonderful comment. And Miriam, sorry, I'll have you. I didn't notice you were the next one, the next poem, but I'm going to have you read twice in a row because I have your poem on the board.
I have no problem. I mean, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, no, okay. So as soon as you see your poem there.
Yeah, I thought I had it up, but I didn't. I should have it by heart. It's so short. There I am. Synergy. Vast is the dark around us, steep are the cliffs below. Come, let's hold hands as we dance round our scars, lighting our way with the stars. End poem.
You know, this is, you know, it's so few words, but so such, so powerful. And you wrote to your favorite song, which is Swimming to the Other Side by Pat Humphreys. And the line that you wrote to was, we're all swimming to the other side. And, you know, I thought this was just so well written. Vast is the dark around us, you know. But, you know, we dance around our scars, lighting our way with the stars. That's so powerful that you know, you say so much in those few words, Miriam. It's so, you know, you using those scars just to grow and to light our way to a future, embracing those scars and embracing what could be our difference too, you know, embracing just who we are with our good, with our bad, but doing it together. I think that's the message that you have here, you know, let's hold hands as we dance around our scars. So reunite as a society, reunite, you know, and dance around all those difference, dance around all those scars and then, you know, just dance on right into the stars, you know, learn from one another. It's such a beautiful spiritual piece, Miriam. I really love this.
So you really
very well.
And I put the YouTube link up there. I found it tonight, the Pat Humphrey singing her own song. It's just so beautiful. I hope you will all listen to it when you have time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'm really intrigued, you know, to put that, you know, to listen to that. Because it's such a beautiful brevity that you wrote. And Ed, what did you think of Miriam's writing?
Yes, this was an experience or passage through difficult times and to overcome the problems and basically the effort to get to the other side and by swimming or with hard work. That's what I get out of it. Many have to deal with when they have a problem and to just swim and keep above water and just go through to the other side.
Mm. Wonderfully said there. And Wayne, your thoughts on Miriam's poem?
Well, this is a beautiful brevity showing the dangers of life and how by having friends close by and close to you, the stars will show you ways, a safe way through your life. It's a poem of how friendship can keep you out of harm's way. And it's a very lovely poem, and I enjoyed your little brevity. Good job.
Well said there. When you want to say anything else about your poem, Miriam?
Oh, I think I said it. I mean, if I keep talking about it, I could talk the rest of the night about it, but then it wouldn't be a brevity.
Absolutely. But it was really beautiful. You know, there was so much power in those few words. You said, you know, it was really, really amazing. So thank you so, so much for sharing, Miriam. Just an amazing light. And I have our next write-up by Thomas B. And Wayne, do you see that one up, Since This Morning by Thomas B?
Yes, I do.
Give us a read, please.
I'll do my best. So, since this morning, it goes like this. I am a long walk, a few summer skips, moments chasing butterflies, looking at the world through soap bubbles. Then I notice my knees hurt. There's nowhere to sit. I can only throw up my hands, dodge raindrops, leave the shadows of the sun ray on the last day there holds a cross. Threshold I crossed.
And this is thank you so much, Wayne. And this is our first rite to the contest, the hodgepodge, which I just put all kinds of prompts together, art and quotes and everything, and people really, wow, my gracious, I think that contest filled up like 25 places in 2 days. So, yeah. but that's why I have so much material on the board. So, but this is just beautiful by Thomas B., since this morning. I really like the imagery in this, moments chasing butterflies, looking at the world through soap bubbles. He really taught that artwork, which is by a Japanese artist, by the way. And he really caught the artwork down to a T. And, and then he notices the knees hurt. There's nowhere to sit. And, he dodges raindrops, leaves the shadow of a sun ray on the last stray threshold I've crossed. Isn't that so beautiful? Absolutely reflects the beauty of the art. I just thought that art piece was so beautiful. And what did you think, Ed?
Well, I was just reading the message he gave me, talking about, how much fun we had. And as we get older, it gets harder. And I could feel his pain in this right, even though he had so much fun, because, our bodies start to break down. And he says, he still feels young in his heart and vibrant, which is, I think I do too. But then some of the things I do, I feel later on at the end of the day. And he says he does Tai Chi. It helps him to not get into that final solution. And I teach martial arts. I've been teaching all my life. And that keeps me going. But then there's one thing we can predict. That we all are going to die.
Yeah,
otherwise, anything
yeah.
else, that's it.
mm-hmm.
But,
absolutely.
We had a great talk, and I enjoyed talking to him. He's a good writer.
Absolutely, yeah. And wonderful. Yeah, you have to keep moving, eh? You have to keep moving.
Yeah.
That's the trick. I mean, if you begin to stay, immobile or, you kind of get rusty, the rust gets on you. And keep moving is the trick, I think, the great old golden age. And what are your thoughts on the subject, Miriam?
Well, I saw it as kind of a compressed version of a whole lifetime, starting with what it's like to be a child or a very young person, and then all of a sudden you find out that your knees hurt, and getting into old age, but it ends up very positive. I mean, I know that in his note he talks about dying, but I don't see that in the poem. But I am going to tell Tom the next time I see him that the one really good thing about being wheelchair bound is that there's always a place to sit.
Mhm. Yeah, absolutely. And absolutely. And I see maybe, you said I didn't write that. I didn't. Personal, whimsical life. You said he talks about dying. Maybe,
In the note that Ed Hunter read, I think, or part of it, a note on
Yeah.
Past his old age jive besides death. Death is always so permanent.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe, you know, and leave the shadow of a sun ray on the last gray threshold I've crossed. The shadow.
Right.
Maybe the shadow is the shadow of death there. You know, a metaphor for it. It could very well be. Wonderful, wonderful observation, Miriam. And Wayne, what did you think? It was a wonderful read, my dear.
I think the poem tells about enjoying the journey of life and how over time a person can get worn down, but still he comes out of the shadows into the sunlight to enjoy his life by adjusting his lifestyle. We all have to adjust as we get older and to still love the life we're in, which it's hard to do sometimes, but we all have to adjust as we get older. And I think it's what this poem is talking about generally. Great point. Lots to think about. Good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, he addresses a lot in those few words for sure. Great observation there, Wayne. Wonder well said. And I have the next write-up by Julie Buck, and which is This Is Not My Home. And I'll go ahead and give it a read. This Is Not My Home. And I love that artwork, by the way. That is by Annalisa Barelli, which was I just love that piece of art. And it's called This Is Not My Home. A surreal world. I don't know that fish. And what's that over there? I don't belong ever in anything pastel. This is not my home. Here is wavy and chaotic, its tendrils reaching for light and love. One bird escaping, snow white dove. Peace and calm is not my style, nor is arrogant and mean. I'm somewhere in between, but never baby blue. If you see any foolhardy hope, though, I'll have to get back with you. End poem. always a joy to read, my gracious Julie Buck. She's all, you know, like I always say about Julie Buck is that you never know what you're in for. And, you know, she really, she did that in Julie Buck style. You know, she took that painting, which is all serene and calm and you know, the beautiful and peaceful. And she says, yeah, this is my place. Now my life is chaotic and you know, it's wavy and it has tendrils, you know. So this is not my home. This was wonderful. I thought it was wonderfully creative by Julie Buck. And what did you think, Wayne, about this write?
I know Julie pretty well. Essentially, she talked about not being in the extreme. She's in a well-balanced place that she's sure she can thrive in her life. She's not mean and she's not a pushover. She's right where she wants to be, and she handles life the way she wants to. And she's got a great balance in life right now, it looks like. Did a great job with the poetry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great observation there, Wayne. Wonderfully said. And, yeah, she seems to be a wonderful person, Julie does. And what did you think, Miriam, of Julie's write?
Well, I had to keep looking back at the picture. I mean, I'm sure the poem stands alone just fine. So it's kind of cheating to keep looking at the picture. I have to tell Julie that that fish, I don't know that fish. I think she doesn't know that fish because it's actually a whale fluke. Yeah, there's the rest of the whale or another whale coming in from the other side. Okay, I'm having fun with her. I don't know her, but I'm having fun with her everywhere. I identify with this a whole lot. I mean, she could have written this about me. With the not being, not belonging in pastel. I like to wear wild colors and patterns that conflict and stuff like that. And I also would say that I am not peace and calm, but somewhere in between. So I really enjoyed this, and the picture may not be my world, but I would say the poem is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wonderful. You know, yeah, I can relate to it too a bit, you know, because, you know, my life is pretty chaotic some days. And, you know, a lot going on. And me too. I never dress in pastels, oh my gracious, no. You know, I'm kind of the hippie type, you know, like you, I guess, a bit, Miriam, you know. And, yeah, with the pretty much darker, I'd say. Well, you say brighter colors. I tended to sometimes, like, bright colors, but, you know, kind of like the darker colors, I guess, I go for. What did you think, Ed, about Julie Buck's poem?
Well, I read a lot of her poems also. You know, the beginning of Surreal World is, you know, it's not real. It's like a dream. And she has some of this here of her chaotic life. And maybe trying to escape. And she doesn't take basically crap because she says, peace and calm is not my style, nor is arrogant and mean, but she's a tough person and she won't be fooled. And that's what I get out of this.
Oh. Whoops, my first mute mistake. I was there before the show. I said, no, Naomi, no mutations tonight. And there, just did one. My gracious. Wonderful comments, everybody. And, you know, a wonderful piece by Julie Buck for sure. And I have the next write-up, which is really, I really found it quite funny. And Ed, can you go ahead and give this a read for us?
Sure. Surreal Symphony. In breakfast dawn, a symphony begun. Crisp cereal days in crunchy sun. But now, oh my, how time has flown. Snap, crackle, pop, a creaky moan. Gone are the grains. Melodic glee replaced by joints harmony. No longer oats in rhythmic play. It's vertebrae that pop today. A symphony of age unfolds. Rice Krispies traded for joints thresholds. So in this tune of life's cruel jest, my breakfast echoes in my chest. End poem.
I thought it was so, oh my gracious, it was so funny. You just hear the snack crackle pop, you know, and he all related to cereals, you know. I heard you chuckle, Miriam. What are your thoughts?
Oh, just the extended metaphor is so funny and so beautifully done here. So many details to it, all following that extended metaphor. And, oh boy, how do I relate to the old age references in here? This tune, Life's Cruel Jest. My breakfast echoes in my chest. Oh, my gosh, that is so sad. I love it.
Yeah, me too. I really loved it when I read it. Oh, my gracious. I said, oh, I laughed. I laughed out loud. And Wayne, what did you think of the write?
I thought this was wonderful. The poem talks about how time can change, how the body reacts to everyday events. I eat a cereal for breakfast. And at the end, she even talks about how the body reacts after the event takes place, as somebody echoes in her chest after she's done that event. And her body's even reacting to that. It's a process of getting old that she's going through. And she did a wonderful job, a humorous job of explaining it all to us. Great job.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. This is a real gem. And Ed, you read it so wonderfully. What did you think, my dear?
This is an honest humor of how our body breaks down, and it's funny. I love how she uses Rice Krispies because you hear that noise, and I hear that noise when I'm bending down. It's just like that. So this was very well done, and she got it down to a T of what happens when you get a little older.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there, Ed. And thank you so much, Chess93. That was really a delight, and it gave us all a smile and a chuckle. So thank you so much for that. And I have our next write-up. It's by Terry Owen, and The Feral Forest of Thought. And Miriam, if you see, when you see that, can you give that a read, please?
I got it. Feral Forest of Thought. Flowing glimpses of pastures new, openings in twisted twigs it peeks through. Dismal, dismembered labyrinth of trees, I must conquer to ensure my release. Brutalized butterflies, crows battling caricature-like disguise, forest formed of feral foliage, soundtracked by beastly barrier ledge.
And, you know, what a wonderful write. My gracious, you know, she alliteration in this, and, you know, just the overall feeling of, you know, the overall feeling that you get from those two words, brutalized butterflies. There's just something there that's just, you know, brutalized butterflies. You know, to brutalize something that's so beautiful as a butterfly, and it for it to be brutalized, is just so much pain. In that, you know, in that metaphor there, just an amazing write by Terry here, you know, which is, you know, I can't really explain it, but it really came and, you know, touched something deep inside. And what did you think, Wayne, of this write?
Well, it opens up the poem with a glowing glimpse of pasture new. We all like to see, look out at life and see it being nice and fresh and new. But then as soon as we do, the bad things of life pops its head up, and we have to live through all the bad things to get back to where we can possibly see the new again. It's what I came out of it. So she talks about the brutalized butterflies, the crows, and stuff. She talks about how the bad comes back to you, but you got to work through that to enjoy the good part of life. It's what I got out of it, the metaphors. Great job with this poem.
Yeah. There's a great, you know, alliteration in there, too. You know, forest formed of feral foliage. You know, great alliteration, Terry, throughout the poem. Beautifully done. And that was a great, great comment, Wayne. And Ed, what do you think of Terry's poem?
Well, from trying to read in between the lines, to escape, you know, the domestic abuse,
mm-hmm.
and yet they're captive in their own status, meaning they're stuck in like a hole, and this is the metaphors are unbelievable of the meaning of this person almost being wild and trying to get out, but is living with this this pain.
Mm-hmm.
Very well done.
Absolutely. You know, I didn't want to go there too much, but, you know, I read the same thing as you. So, you know, there must be some underlining of that in the poem, because that's what I read out of it too. And what did you think of the poem, Miriam? You read that so beautifully.
It is very, very beautifully written. I like the subtlety of the near rhymes. I almost always like near rhymes better than perfect rhymes. And the alliteration, as you mentioned also. And I'm struggling with the meaning. I'm going to have to read it a few times through, even though you guys have helped me some. I did not see it as a dark right, but I think you might very well be right. So I want to hold off on commenting on the meaning and read it more. And certainly the categories that Terry has put it in would indicate that it is a love poem that is very sad. So you got that right.
I'm on mute again. I did it again. Wonderful comment, Miriam. Wonderfully said. And thank you so much, Terry, for sharing that with us. You know, it's such a beautiful, beautiful share tonight. And I have the next poem up by Rirooney 664. And Wayne, if you see that, if you can give that a read for us, please.
I see it. I'll give it my best shot. I'll give it my best shot.
Okay.
It's called Macabre Mooney. A glass house that is a stone's throw from shattering, pain secluding in the sound of silence, screams loudly in the void, as crowded cabooses charge down the tracks of his brain, nearly missing a crush. The sunset rises no more, as his woods wither, trees trickle tears down his tedious mug. Broken butterflies with restless wings. Aspen watches their limbs lay on the forest floor. In misty condensation, streaking streams float on. Flashbacks that filter back to shattered glass. The past grips him as trains of echolocation roar back. Misty-eyed in the macabre Mooney. In.
Wonderful read, Wayne. And he wrote to the prompt, I am horrible at letting go until I do. And then I let go hard enough to crumble around me so that everything crumbles around me, including myself. And that was a quote by Stephanie Bennett Henry. And also he wrote to the prompt, I don't have a train of thought. I have 7 trains on 4 tracks that narrowly avoid each other when the paths cross and all the conductors are screaming screaming. Today my forest is dark. The trees are sad. All the butterflies have broken wings. And he used all those 3 prompts, and you know, he wrote a really painful, sad poem with beautiful, beautiful metaphors. Again, we see the broken butterflies with rested wings, ashen washed as their limbs lay on the forest floor. Wow. You know, we really, really feel those metaphors that he has in here, you know, for the breaking down and shattering into pieces. You know, these metaphors are really amazing. What did you think, Ed?
The first stanza, you know, a glass house that is a stone's throw away from shattering. pain, secluding in the sounds of silence, screams loudly in the void as a crowded caboose charged down the tracks of his brain, narrowly missing a crash at crunch. That first stanza, I really liked reading it. It's in detail of how this person feels and going through the pain. It's like a train just barreling down with no brakes, and you're in the back just waiting for this thing to crash. And that feeling that you have inside your body, it has to be very, very, painful. I would never know, but just from reading this, you could feel it inside your body of something like that happening to you. But that was what I got out of the whole poem.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful interpretation, wonderful observation. And Miriam, what did you think?
I'm just hoping that those trains are not going to crash into the glass house. This sounds like my life. I mean, I'm sure a lot of the point of poetry is to help us not feel alone. Both for the poet to get feedback and for people who are reading the poem to say, oh, I'm not the only one who feels that way. And this very chaotic experience of, having multiple trains on not enough tracks and trying to avoid collisions. And it gets especially interesting where you have somebody else in the same room who's going through the same thing. This happened to me this morning with my husband. The images are very well done, and I enjoyed the poem.
Absolutely. Wonderfully relatable to many, I think, and so, so wonderfully well written. Rurouni 664. I'm seeing all these new poets, in this contest, and I'm loving it. Oh my gracious, I'm loving the discovering so much new talent, and keep writing. My gracious, I'm really I'm sure everybody is enjoying the rites tonight. They're so deep and wonderful. And I have our next write-up, Frequencies, by Robert J. Tice. And I'm lost here. Ed, Miriam, eh? Whose turn is it to read? Oh, my gracious. Ed, your turn? Okay, go ahead, Ed.
Okay, Frequencies. I heard her song again today while dialing FM frequencies. I'm wondering how many times we played that album since the start, how many others will find it first, and if they listen to it twice, and if they sing it frequently, then feel what we have felt for life. End poem.
That was a wonderful read, Ed. And what a beautiful, beautiful poem. It's just so raw and real and authentic, and just right from the heart, and it takes me back to, we still dial the FM, on the radio, or the radio, the car. I still do that. I know some people, they have their playlists on, and they have Spotify, and they have whatever, but I still dial FM on my old car radio, and still relatable to me. But I just love, I heard our song again today while dialing FM frequencies. I'm wondering how many times we played that album since the start, just just all of this poem. I could recite it all. It's just so amazing. You know, it has this nostalgic feeling to it, you know, and this wonderfulness to it. I don't know. This just through this poem he makes us feel how it is to just, you know, when we're in love and we're listening to those old songs and we have our song, because most couples have their love song, their song that they relate to. He just brings out that feeling in this ride, I find, so beautifully. And what did you think, Ed? You read it, Ed. Oh, well, you can comment, Ed. Go ahead.
Okay. He's wrote a lot of poems about, his love, his family and everything. And, this brings back a lot of memories of driving in the car and listening to FM and the older songs that you had on an album. And, you could tune into the oldies type stations and listen to some of the songs you listened to at home at one time with your love. And I thought this was a very, very emotional type, brings back memories poem.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. And what did you think, Wayne, the writer?
Well, I may be off track, but I think his poem is a metaphor about how two people came together with love and while listening to their hearts, and their love continues day after day, and wonder if others will come together and know the love that they have and that they discovered. And that's what I've got. The poem's kind of they just stood, their love continues day after day. They just stood every day. And then they wonder if anybody else had the love they have, and if the other has the love they have. So that's what I got out of it. It's a metaphor of love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's what's cool about poetry is that, two people can read the same poem and they get different interpretations out of the same poem. That's the beauty of poetry. So, yeah, I get a little bit of both. It could go perfectly both ways, What about you, Marianne? What are your thoughts?
I thought this was a very enjoyable reflection of both nostalgia and speculation in a romantic relationship, and really reminds me of what things were like with my husband and me at the beginning and still are, seeing things that we both remember and enjoy and pointing them out and then wondering about how is that going to be enjoyed by some other couple in the future. I really, especially the ending, I really like that. Wondering if they're going to sing this song frequently and will they feel what we felt for life. It's beautiful.
That was a wonderful comment, Miriam. I think you perfectly said it all there in that comment. Wonderfully said. And Wayne, I have your piece up, my dear. So whenever you're ready, read.
Okay. Now, I picked this poem out because, they recently changed the auto rank system, and this poem was ranked down in the 220s of mine. And after they changed the auto rank system, it jumped all the way up to number one, which is kind of amazes me. So I thought I better give it the credit due to it, I reckon, and read it. It's called The Perfect Pick, and it's a picture prompt poem. Marriott man in the moon sings. Lovely lady listens and swings. Wind whispers to the silent seas. Stars trickle the tall timber trees. Aquamarine skies play purple perfection. Skies of paradise pick a good selection. In.
Wonderful, wonderful. Right, Wayne. I just read them a bit. And, of course, the amazing, amazing imagery all throughout. The stars tickle the tall timber trees. That is just beautiful. And aquamarine skies play purple perfection. Private paradise pick good selection. That is just so beautiful. You know, I just love this. And your, of course, your alliteration there is just amazing too, you know. Just a beautiful, beautiful right to that prompt. Oh, my gracious, you captured it perfectly. What do you think, Ed?
The word usage is beautiful, nice metaphors. You know, the wind whispers to the silent sea, stars tickle the tall timber trees. That is beautiful, especially looking at the picture, the photo, you know, above, and the moon and the everything. It's just a lovely brevity with so much meaning in this poem, and you did a great job. Well done.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And Miriam, what are your thoughts?
This tiny little poem is just packed with images, with the words that spark our memory and imagination, and the colors in it, and that last line. Let me read it to you, and you tell me, please, Wayne, if I am interpreting it. Private paradise. Good selection.
Yeah, the
two halves of that line, one of them is kind of an explanation of the other.
Yes, it's what it is. She said the person in the poem is so relaxed and comfortable. She's in her own little private world, in her own private lagoon, like type thing, and she's saying to herself, this is a great selection I made. This is
all
paradise.
Right. I got it. Good. Thank you. I love that.
You're welcome.
Now that's wonderful. Yeah, great to have somebody, the poet, the right present so that you can ask them the questions, right? That's amazing. Yeah. Thank you so much, Wayne, for sharing that. That was a great addition to the show tonight. Wonderful.
Thank you very much.
A perfect pick, indeed. Perfect. It was really perfect. Great imagery. Just beautiful. And I have our next poem up. It's by Weaver of Dreams. And it does have a SoundCloud called Friend or Foe.
In the shadows of a moonlit night, dreams and nightmares take flight. In realms where fantasies unfold, adventures begin and tales are told. Anecdotes of an entity often reviled. That is my alter ego, who's a wild child. My dark passenger likes to urge me to do crazy things so that I feel free. Now I'm a rebel soul, a fearless force, defying limits, feeling no remorse. So let us all honor our alter ego, our secret side that only we know.
Oh, what an amazing, amazing SoundCloud. Thank you so much, Katie, Weaver of Dreams, for, you know, sending that in, that SoundCloud. And, you know, just a friendly reminder, everybody, if you can, you know, just send in those SoundClouds because we love hearing your poetry and your voice. It gives us that extra little oomph, you know, to your writing. So wonderfully written and wonderfully read. And, you know, I just love this. In realms where fantasy unfolds, adventures begin and tales are told. And anecdotes of an entity often revealed. That is my alter ego, who's a wild child. You know, I love that idea of having a waltz out the alter ego there, and you know, it's a wild one. And oh yeah, I can imagine Katie's alter ego as being very wild indeed. Wonderful, wonderful, creative, unique, right to that prompt. It's just amazing. And what did you think, Ed?
Well, when, you know, when people record their poem, it sounds unbelievably great, because they have the flow. They know how it should be said. And also when they call in, and this is a beautiful write, and it goes great with the picture. And it's almost like, it's like a fantasy that, you know, that we could see with this photo. And she's bringing this fantasy out with all her words, and she did a great job. And, you know, the voice was spectacular listening to it. Well done.
Oh, boy, I'm coughing here. That was a wonderful, wonderful comment, Ed. And Miriam, what did you think of Katie's poem?
Well, I have to agree with what has already been said, both about how beautifully Katie reads her own poetry, and that I have to not be absolutely sure that she's right about this last line, our secret side that only we know, because I have certainly seen more than one glimpse of this alter ego in Katie.
Absolutely.
The rhymes are beautiful and her cadence is perfect, and I'm starting to get the feel for it when I read the poem myself, but it's just so beautiful when she reads it herself.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, it's such a beautiful reading voice, you know, and I just love that accent that she has.
Oh.
That's wonderful. Well, you know, we all have an accent for one for another, I guess. You know, I have an accent for her. You know, I have an accent in French, and I have an accent when I talk English. Well, you know, so anyway, but what a wonderful write. And what did you think, Wayne?
I think it's saying, under the cloak of moonlight, we can be who we want to be, and let our egos run wild without any embarrassment or feeling of remorse, and nobody will ever find out. This is wonderfully written with magic in her heart. I think it's a great poem.
Absolutely. Wonderful. And I have our next write-up by Eric Svensson. And he wrote to one of my most favorite quotes of all time. And I just had to put it up in a contest. I think this is the second time I put it up. I think I put it up for another contest for, you know, longer poems. But, you know, the quote is by Brooke Hampton, and it's, I am pieces of all the places I have been and all the people I have loved. I've been stitched together by song lyrics, book quotes, adventure, late night conversations, moonlight, and the smell of coffee. I just love, and it's written in a heart shape. You know, I just love that quote. And it goes like this, if I can get all of Eric Svensson's wonderful words in, because he's a most unique, creative, and wonderful wordsmith. Oh, my gracious. And it's called Haberdashery. Galaxy Hitchhiker, Hodgepodge, Meetings, Glooch, Wind, Time. Rainbow vermicelli, sprinkled layered cake existence, curiosities carefree, viscosity, viscosity. Foreign tongues quickened, eyes drank in salacious lipped syllables. Ears walked shiny old world cobblestones. Mediterranean countries ladled passion's elixir. Flamingo dancers lowered heart drawbridge forever. Purple-headed mountain range ascension. Mouth imbibed high altitude manna. Mind dizzy galepsy spun on thin gossamer air. Overspill of Netherlands, canal streets, acoustic ass Amsterdam with window ensconed dames, adjacent nascent nacre pearled strings framed for flesh, layered patina sky of the USA, troubadour tripped route 66, midnight cowboy thought rainstone cowboy made love, not war. End poem. And, you know, just so wonderfully penned by Eric Svensson. And I think he did, you know, address that quote spot on, you know, in so much deliciousness throughout this poem. It's just that, you know, he talks about the Route 66 and, and he ends with made love, not war, you know, which is all what that quote is about, you know, loving life and not, you know, being loving peace and loving, you know, just a peaceful life and a peaceful existence. All the little tidbits of life, the simple things in life that you can make that makes it so delicious. And I think he addressed that. You know, I love mouth imbibed high altitude manna. I love that he put the word manna in there, you know, and so many other, you know, lines in this poem that I really, really liked. Ed, what did you think of Eric's poem?
Well, his word choice was unbelievable. I had to look up some of them. But then I was looking, the mind of Dizzy Gillespie spun on thin gossamer air. You know, and how we, like, sit or somewhere and have a coffee and you listen to songs, how you're relaxed, your eyes drank in salacious lipped syllables, how you think. You know, everything is here from that beginning of the rite that you have, that you read. It explains of, you know, purple-headed mountain range ascension, mouth embedded high, altitude manna. You know, all this is something that you could be thinking of, talking about, living. And then the last, you know, four words, made love, not war. And this is what you want to be like, you know, relaxed and enjoying life. And I thought this was done very well.
Absolutely wonderful comment, Ed. Very complete and wonderful observations. And Miriam, what did you get out of Eric's write?
Well, after you read that quotation, Naomi,
mm-hmm.
my mind went into a different drawer or something, and you were reading this poem. I said, what in the world is he doing? And then I remembered, oh, yes, he was following the prompt absolutely perfectly. He was just giving us all these different tiny windows into his life, into what makes him who he is. And mostly images, mostly visual images, but also some of the sounds he remembers that he feels are formative. And then ending up with that beautiful Made Love, Not War. I mean, what a perfect life. That's great.
Absolutely wonderful comment, Miriam. And yeah, that's exactly what he did. You know, he put all these little pieces of his life, I think, you know, that are really, you know, the simple little parts of what he enjoys in life. And so wonderful, wonderful write, Eric. And thank you so, so much for writing and sharing that with us tonight. And I have our next write-up, Timeless Screen by Rodrigo 22. And Miriam, if you want to go ahead and give that a read.
All right, hang on just a second here until I find it. Timeless Scream. Why can I not simply just find you? Have I not so long suffered enough? I yearn so for you, your heart's presence, tired of mundane and frivolous stuff. I know that our love was epic, monumental. I know we worshipped each other to the full. I need you to return to my lonely existence. I feel your timeless energy, how it so pulls. Life is just too cruel and sad without you. I yearn to shower you with copious love. Why can't you walk in through my door? Till then, I'm a cold hand without a glove.
Wonderful, wonderful read, Miriam. And Rodrigo wrote to the quote, "So I wait for you like a lonely house till you will see me again and live in me. Till then, my windows ache." And that was by Pablo Neruda. And what a wonderful quote. But, you know, what a wonderful write by Rodrigo. And, you know, you feel this. It's simply, just simply said and just so powerful in all its simplicity, if I can say it that way. Why can't you walk in through my door? Till then, I'm a cold hand without a glove. I just love that metaphor, you know, a cold hand without a glove. And, you know, and it all makes me also think of a cold hand without another hand in it, holding it, you know, because it's by itself. You know, there's no hand holding it, no hand to hold. You know, and the glove could be that other hand that's missing from his life, that other person. You know, I just love this. You know, it's just simply put, but like I said, so powerful. And a nice rhythm and rhyme to it, too. What did you think, Ed?
It was a strong emotional poem. He opened up his display and his intense feelings towards this person. And I thought he did very well. I loved the rhyming and the rhythm. And it was very passionate of how someone misses another person. And it goes well with Pablo Neruda's poem. Very well done.
Absolutely. What did you think, Miriam? You read it so beautifully.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed reading it. I thought this was very well done and had some very
iconic expressions in it. But then the last line, I'm a cold hand without a glove, I don't think I've heard that before. And I think that's one of the most beautiful and perfectly stated metaphors that I've ever heard. It was just outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful comments there. I agree. Beautiful. And so wonderful comments, you both. And so I have our next write-up. It's by Puddles33 called Sailing Into Me, and it has a SoundCloud.
Sailing Into Me by Barb Christing. A pinch of this, a peck of that, collecting flotsam like a rat. I drift through life on current's tide, unlock my mind, hold arms out wide. Today the fog seeps in my blood, returns my clay back into mud. The sights, the sounds of distant shores remold my core, fill thirsty pores. My heart echoes with love-filled sails, laughter, giggles, and fairy tales. My vessel swells with riches swept into my helm where memories kept. A song tossed high on crested waves crushes my soul's light riddled caves. A dance, a dirge, a slow refrain, a siren's song I'd sing again.
I'm on mute. I'm on mute. That was just beautiful. Oh, her voice, it was so cheery. And, you know, it made the lyrics all come to life. And it was as if she was like kind of chanting the lyrics. And, you know, I put this right to music. Oh, my gracious, I'd make a song out of it. It's so beautiful. And, you know, she wrote to the same prompt as Eric had, you know, which was the one about the pieces of the, you know, all the wonderful things, you know, the stitched together songs and the pieces of the places I've been and the people I've loved, all those beautiful things. And I just love, you know, sailing into me, you know, coming into my, into me, coming into what I am, you know, like with a pinch of this, a peck of that. I just love how she started that out, a pinch of this, a peck of that. That's just, that drew me in right away. Today the fog seeps in my blood, returns my clay back into mud. Just so how the whole flow of it, just beautiful. Oh, my gracious, this is just fantastic. What did you think, Ed?
This was an elegant write. Again, listening to this, these people that call in you know, the SoundCloud, yeah, the words are wonderfully woven together of how it should be. And, you know, this is a very impressive response to the prompt. It's well done. You know, it's beautifully done. I enjoyed listening to her, and I'm sure everyone else has. And it has a nice pattern and rhythm to each stanza.
That's absolutely wonderfully said there, Ed. And what did you think, Miriam?
Oh, it was very, very beautifully crafted, and a lot of wonderful images. I like the nature themes and the wonderful metaphor of the boat. Excuse me, that must have been a ship. It's too big. It has to be big enough to hold all those memories. So it's got to be a ship. And the dance and the... A dance, a dirge, those are pretty much polar opposites. But then she goes into a siren song, which could be somewhere in between, and the idea of wanting to experience it, wanting to experience these beautiful memories again. It's beautiful. And I love the rat. I just love the rat. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful comment. Yeah, it was a, like, there was a joy, a cheerfulness to that rite. It was just a merry-go-around. It was just amazing. And I have our next write up by, I love her name, and the name just Poppy. And Ed, if you can go ahead and give that a read for us.
I don't have it up yet.
Whoops. Let me see. Just Poppy. Oh, I forgot to put it. Okay, there should be just up right now, Ed.
There we go. Okay. Okay, the roots of sadness. In the middle of a dark forest, she plucks a musical sheet of rain from the sky, then begins to play the piano. Her fingertips stroke an ivory scowl. A deluge of tumulus notes begins. Dissonant chords blend with the peal of thunder. The trees sing melancholy lullabies. Their roots drink sorrow. End poem.
What a wonderful read. And she wrote to the quote, "Today my forest is dark, the trees are sad, and all the butterflies have broken wings," by Rain Cooper. And, you know, that was one of the quotes I put up. And, you know, I love the artwork. Oh, my gracious, I wish I, you know, I'm jealous. I wish I would have found that artwork. I love that artwork that she put to the, you know, to accompany her poem. But, you know, wonderful, wonderful brevity. Her fingertips stroke an ivory skull, a deluge of tumultuous notes begin, dissonant chords blend with the peal of thunder. The trees sing melancholy lullabies. The roots drink sorrow. Wow, what amazing imagery and metaphor. That is just amazing. And what did you think, Miriam, of the rite?
Well, this is dark in the sense of physical darkness, and there's also sorrow in it. But somehow I found that the willingness of the pianist to sit there and play in the dark woods gives a whole lot of hope and positivity to the poem. So it's got, I guess, a kind of a tension in it between the sorrow and the peacefulness.
Absolutely. Wonderful observation there, Miriam. Greatly. Well said indeed. And what did you think, Ed?
Well, I think just from the photo and the words, this is a explosive, ferocious type poem. It's intense, you know, in the dark forest. And she plucks musical sheet of rain from the sky. And all of a sudden, she goes into this thunderous poem of writing and the melancholy lullabies and the roots drink sorrow. It's a painful rite and a great usage of words and meaning with the prompt and the photo. Done very well.
Off mute, Naomi, off mute. Yes, amazing. Amazing comment there, Ed. And yeah, So thank you so, so much, just Poppy. That was just an amazing share. And I have our next write-up by K.S. Harkless. And do you see it if you want to give it a read, Miriam? It's a flockalypse, I guess.
Yeah. A flockalypse. That's a great word.
Yeah.
In the woods behind our house, our eyes I cannot see. Camouflaged reminders, no one's waiting up for me. When I venture among the maple trees, I have no idea how many spies with fortress-like obsidian eyes peek between branches, tracking my advances. Strength of boots on frozen roots, echoing screams. When hunger overcomes them, they dive bomb from their perches. Congregations released from churches. Kinglet, sparrow, chickadee, a holy crusade requires anonymity. Swooping to discover I've already been eaten by doubt, fear, and anxiety. What is left to rifle through is drier than the winter woods and poisonous to consume. End poem.
Wonderful read, Miriam. And you know, I think, you know, the, you know, that piece of art, I don't know if she put the author up. Art by Kuslu Suvater. I came across that piece of art and I just thought it so intriguing. And I was wondering if somebody would, you know, pick it up and write to it. I'm so happy that Kate did. And, you know, I think she really did it justice, you know, right from that title of Flockalypse. And, you know, I might have read it wrong, but what I interpreted from it is, you know, the all those birds there, you know, and everything that hides in those trees is an extended metaphor for all our doubts, fears, or anxiety, everything that, you know, that lies, you know, within her, you know. And in a way, she is that winter woods, or she is that forest. I could be wrong, but that's what I get out of it. What do you think, Ed?
It's like a release, or a release of being caged almost, and becoming free, not letting yourself get harmed with all the problems that's going on. What is left to rife through is drier than the winter woods and poisonous to consume. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's explaining I've already been eating my doubt, fear, and anxiety. But then it seems like they're trying to get free, and they are free after the fact. You know, the photo almost shows that they're caged in, and this is what they want to be, is free. And I thought it was done very well.
Absolutely. That was a wonderful comment. A wonderful observation, Ed. And what did you think, Miriam? You read it so wonderfully.
I would like to stay away from those birds. Bombing from their perches. And the congregations released from churches. It sounds as if, is that her name? Kate? It sounds as if her experience of church has been far worse than mine. And kinglet, sparrow, chickadee, I mean, those are songbirds. They should be safe, but then she says a holy crusade requires anonymity, and that is really dark. Really, really dark. That's scary. To me, that's scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a very dark ride. And you know, from what you said, Miriam, it made me think of, you know, another aspect of the right. It really, you know, made me think that, you know, the pressure society puts on us, whether it's from a religious, you know, whether it's churchgoers or, you know, religion or, you know, the Bible or whatever, or what, you know, all those pressures to be, you know, perfect, to be, you know, just this certain way, to fit in, to be accepted, you know, causes all that fear, that anxiety, that you know, that those feelings of just being, you know, eaten up. I find so, you know, yeah. Thank you for that comment, Miriam, because it made me think further. And so wonderful, wonderful, right indeed by K.F. Harkless here. Thank you so much for sharing. And I have a next write-up by Diane D. And it Foxtrots and Band-Aids, and it has a SoundCloud.
Foxtrots and Band-Aids by Diane D. In fingers crossed leaps, I dance with life. A two-step with a foxtrot part of myself. With death about to tap my shoulder. And like all life, I drifted imperfectly. I have plucked a sunflower petal, fallen just to get back up again, and tasted a black jelly bean. My wrist wore a gutsy watch. I have burned hard-boiling eggs and saw the lunatics of the moon. I am part heart, part eyes, part idea, where time's a bully and I'm a fat kid. To float once more, I would talk truth only, so I can rip the band-aid off however I want. End poem.
What a wonderful write by Diane. Oh, my gracious. Oh, and I laughed. I chuckled. I know this is very, very, you know, serious poem, and it's hard hitting in places with the bullying and, you know, it's heartfelt poem, but I had to laugh at I've burned hard-boiling eggs because, you know, I can just remember me raising my four kids alone and, you know, having to deal with stuff and having those eggs in the pot and you know, and then smelling the burnt eggs and coming back and they were just all burnt to the bottom of the chaudron. What is that in the pan, the pot. Yeah, and so I chuckled at that. But, you know, what a wonderful write by, you know, it's just, like I said, it's so heartfelt. It's so beautiful. Where time's a bully and I'm a fat kid, to float once more, I would talk truth only so I can rip the Band-Aid off however I want. That is just, so, you know, just little pieces of her life again that she put in, you know, that quote really caught on and you know, it's such a beautiful quote. People just, you know, wrote so wonderfully to that. And this is no exception. Wonderful write by Diane. What did you think, Ed?
Yeah, this is a poem to be strong in life and to deal with the obstacles, the dilemmas, the problems, the misfortunes that we all have. And I thought it was done beautifully, and I enjoyed her reading it.
Absolutely. That was a wonderful SoundCloud, Diane. And thank you so much for sending it in, you know, and I hope that everything is working out, and I hope you'll be with us, you know, for our next show. We miss you. We miss you. And what did you think, Miriam, of Diane's right?
Well, I was thinking I should go and look at this contest, because I would love to see a whole bunch of brevities written to this prompt. It's so interesting to see what the different poets come up with, these mini glimpses into their lives. And boy, oh boy, do I remember those burned boiled eggs. So they stick to the bottom of the pan and they break open so you can see the hardened yolk and white within the broken shell. That's a great... I never expected to see that in a poem, but it's perfect. It's really great.
Oops, yep, off mute. Yeah, and I was getting the next poll, the next right. I guess it will be our last right for the night, our last brevity. And Ed, whenever you see that, my dear, just give it a read for us.
Okay, here we go. The Lotus Flower, a Tokyo tea house, a sacred song of the eve, ushering its welcome song amidst the ancient tranquility waters, wilts the shotgun and geisha listen to the gagaku music, bowing to the language of the song until dusk was heard, embracing a pond's whisper of lotus and elegance of unfurls, fervorescent of resilience and grace rejoices. Summer skies holding its breath, lotus flower of ancient prayer floated under the ethereal ember sun, lightness of kimono silk herds rustling by, tatami floor of simplicity awaits, hospitality of ceremonial tea dances blissfully commences, bouquet of lotus petals sway to the hypnotic sounds. End poem.
What a beautiful read that was, and what a wonderful write by Omega here. Oh my gracious, you know, he just brought us back to Japan here, and you know, wonderful, you know, write eggs, you know, perfect, just perfect for that prompt, which was, I thought, was the most beautiful art, you know, just that blue background with just that single lotus flower just, you know, floating there. And, you know, this is so elegant and so, like, hypnotic. The imagery is just so beautiful throughout it. It just mirrors that picture, that art so beautifully. What did you think, Miriam?
Oh, it's just a parade of Japanese images with the appropriate words, some of which I'm familiar with and some of which I am not. So there's room for learning more here, which I always appreciate. And it's just this kind of a dance rhythm to the poem. It's very beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely wonderful, Ben. Isn't that stanza beautiful? Summer skies holding its breath. Lotus flower of ancient prayers floated under the ethereal ember sun. That is so beautiful, that little stanza there. What did you think, Ed?
Oh, it was beautiful. And, you know, when you go to a tea house, this is hits the spot. It's very, very on key with what a Tokyo tea house would be. And this makes you want to go and visit, you know, Tokyo, Japan, and go into one of these tea houses. I've only been to a couple in the United States that are similar, but nothing like this. Very well done.
Yeah, beautiful, right? Wonderful, right, to finish the show on. And, you know, love and peace to everybody, you know, to you all. And thank you so, so much for writing for us. And, you know, and a great rest of the week to everyone. I thank you so much, Miriam, for phoning in. And, you know, I was messaging you from the beginning of the, before the show. And thank you so much for responding, darling, for, you know, phoning in, calling in. And thank you so, so much, Wayne, also, who was there. And thank you, Ed, my darling, for being there, my co-host.
You're welcome.
My wonderful co-host. And yeah, so great rest of the week, everybody, and we'll see you all next. Well, the show is all week long, of course, but you know, next Monday is going to be our new show, describing me, discovering me through poetry. So we'll see all of you there, maybe. Okay, so good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.